Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety, and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance, and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Okay, let's get stuck into looking at the whole concept around manual handling and the TILE acronym, the T-I-L-E acronym that's used quite a lot across the board when it comes to manual handling training. If you have taken manual handling training in the past, it's likely that you may have come across the manual handling TILE acronym or another version of it. For example, LIGHT, it's usually the letters are jumbled up sometimes and used in a slightly different way, but for all intents and purposes, it's pretty much the same thing. And when we're talking about the TILE acronym, it means, or it stands for, first of all, T, which is for task. Secondly, I for individual. Thirdly, L for load. And lastly, then, it's E for environment. Sometimes you will hear this extended as well to TILE O, which is sort of tagged on to the end there and refers to other factors. And you'll also, as I say here, LIGHT used as a version of it as well. But before we move on to learning more about the individual elements of manual handling and TILE as principles in terms of planning and risk assessing for manual handling tasks, let's just run through a quick peek at the latest manual handling figures in terms of injuries across different industries for some relevant countries there that we tend to look at. Obviously, us guys are based in Ireland, in Northern Ireland here, so actually looking at the latest figures from the HSA in Ireland, manual handling injuries are actually the most common workplace injury in Ireland, with over 30% of physical injuries relating to the back, arm or shoulders. In Great Britain, as a contextual example or comparison, in 2021 business year, manual handling, I think, was the second largest sort of cause when it comes to workplace injury. But just in terms of the raw figures there, we're looking at approximately 470,000 work-related MSK, musculoskeletal disorders, cases that were reported, which is obviously very significant. And 81% of these MSK injuries were related to the upper limbs, the neck or the back. So what does that equate to in terms of, and this is something that I'm always interested in, you know, what does that look like in terms of business, in terms of lost hours and lost days for the workforce? Well, the HSE in Great Britain estimates that around 8.9 million working days. So, you know, for argument's sake, 9 million working days are lost roughly due to these MSK disorders. As you can imagine, that's a massive amount of working days. Yes, some people will say that, I guess, there are those cases when people will be trying their hand and saying they have a bad back, of course, but in many cases it is, you know, legitimate, and certainly, you know, we're not going to sit here and question the legitimacy of any of those cases. But just as a broad figure, that is absolutely huge. And therefore, that's why it's so important why we're looking at manual handling. Manual handling, MSK disorders in general, do cover more than just manual handling, just to make a point here. So when we talk about MSK disorders, it's typically made up, these injuries are typically made up of a few different things, and that includes manual handling, awkward or tiring positions. So basically, if someone's doing repetitive work, for example, and they're sitting in a poor ergonomic position or performing movements that are poor ergonomically, then that's going to contribute to it. And also, of course, that old chestnut keyboard work, which we often refer to as display screen equipment or DSE, which is also a big one. So obviously all those people that are sitting at desks, including many of us who are working from home or home offices, perhaps we don't have good setups, you know, they're all contributing to those massive amount of cases of MSK disorders. Okay, so that was just a wee bit of context for us. Now, let's crack on just to look at what the TILE principles for manual handling actually stands for, and sort of dig into a wee bit more detail. This is only going to be a quick podcast just to give you a quick audio summary of it. And of course, you can share this with your workforce if it's beneficial for you to do that. So first of all, let's look at T for task then. Well, this means really considering the manual handling activity itself. So in broad terms, what are you doing? Is it lifting, lowering, carrying, pushing or pulling? And just asking, how is that going to affect your safety and your health in terms of how it's to be done? For example, does the task involve repetitive movements? Is it, you know, a strenuous type of movement that you're doing? Are there long distances to be covered in terms of the route of travel? And how is the weight distributed, for example, in terms of the different products or movements that need to be carried out? In most workplace manual handling scenarios, the priority really from the start should be to avoid, where possible, the manual handling. Now, obviously, that's not always always possible, but first of all, you know, the consideration should be, can we eliminate it? Do we really need to do it? And until that avenue has been explored, then you should move on, you know, you shouldn't move on to looking at assessing and reducing the risk until that has been looked at. So once you do obviously get to the point where you know and you have accepted that manual handling must take place in some shape or form, then it's time to assess that risk and of course use control measures as far as you possibly can to reduce the risk where manual handling tasks are taking place. So, you know, that task part, the first element, it really is as much about planning as anything else, just considering the overall task. Can you use manual handling aids? Can you avoid it? And that type of thing. And obviously, once a few decisions have been made from that point of view, you can move towards looking at the manual handling task itself. And the next element that we would look at typically is the individual. So this means considering the person who will be carrying out the manual handling activity. So will that be yourself? Will it be a colleague or a group of colleagues? And what are, when we talk about individuals, what are we actually talking about here? Well, we're asking ourselves, certainly from a physical point of view, are the physical attributes of the individual, are they suitable for the task? But also not only physical, and are the people used to carrying out manual handling tasks, and is it something they do on a regular basis? But also, is the person trained and are they knowledgeable about how to do it safely and how to do it properly? What has the business or organization provided for them to give them the tools and information to do that in a safe way? You know, so if we're talking about a brand new group of young workers that's come into a business, for example, and they haven't been provided any information or training and they have no experience of it, and also physically, you know, they may not be physically developed or used to doing this type of work, well, certainly that should be a red flag to you, and you should be asking, right, what can we do in terms of improving this situation by means of training, by means of, you know, building them up to a point where they're ready for it? Or, you know, in other cases, you might just say, look, for this particular task, these particular folks aren't suitable at this time, and also then taking into consideration what your different options would be. So an essential aspect of assessing the individual is considering how much instruction and training they've received. So just don't forget that that aspect, of course. After that, then, when it comes to the TAL acronym, we've done T and then I, and then the next one is L, where we look at the load and we consider the load that is to be moved, lifted, etc. When we ask about and we think about load, then we're talking about considering the object that's being moved. In some cases, this may actually be a person. For example, if you're working in the car industry, and looking at how this load, that, you know, how it can be moved safely. Can it be moved safely? Is it particularly heavy, bulky, hard to handle or grasp? Is it stable or unstable? You know, if so, if it is unstable and difficult to lift, or, you know, very much not possible to lift, then have you actually considered all of the mechanical options and automation options that are available to you? If not, you know, it might be worth having another look if you discover that, well, we thought this was going to be movable or liftable by, you know, people or a group of people, or a person, and then discovering actually it's not possible to lift it, then you may have to revisit just that planning element again and look at your options and make sure that you've looked at all the possible options for using mechanical aids to take off that physical risk then that is there. If no means of reasonable lifting device can be identified, then it's also worth considering, can the load itself be split up into smaller units, for example, or lifted in parts, which is often, you know, another option that you might have. So not necessarily removing the manual handling element, but looking at the load itself and how it can be actually split up into smaller, more liftable, for want of a better word, units. And that's something that often can be a great option as well. So once you've reached the optimum reasonable load or unit size, then that's the time then you want to look just more so at, right, what's the next step here then? And that is looking at your environment, which is the E in the tile acronym for planning then. So this means just considering the area in which the load is being moved, just looking at how this can, you know, make the manual handling task unsafe. Is there anything there that's going to constrain you in terms of moving the object from A to B? Is the flooring and the walkways clear? Are they slippy? Are they, you know, are they suitable for the type of movement that you're going to be performing? Are there sufficient lighting, or is there sufficient lighting in the area? And also things like trip hazards, both things that are foreseeable and unforeseeable or more difficult to predict must be considered here. So when we talk about things that are less foreseeable, we're asking sort of, you know, are there planned events in the area or pedestrians that may crop up across your route of travel as you're moving the object from A to B? And sometimes it's just easier to identify the area that you have to conduct the manual handling task in, putting in an exclusion zone, just to remove that risk to other people and to those that are carrying out the task. So the best thing to do is just trace the entire path of travel from the start to the finish location, if you can and where it's possible to do so. You know, obviously this isn't always going to be the case where you have time to, you know, go inch by inch across the route of travel, but at the very least you should cast your eye and run your eye over it if it's something you're doing on an ad hoc basis. Have a quick look just to see if there's any obvious hazards to you, and then you can put them into consideration when you're carrying out the task. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the TILE acronym itself. And really for us, we usually use TILE, or when we're training, we sort of talk about it in a more, from the point of view of planning your lift as opposed to carrying it out as such. And we move on typically in our training, and you'll see this in our free manual handling training course that we'll have uploaded very shortly to safety.com. We use the five principles of manual handling for the lift itself, and TILE forms a part of that in terms of being the first step, which is to plan the lift. And it's a good little acronym just to remember to walk through the key elements for you to make sure that you're taking everything into consideration. And as I said, I think earlier there, sometimes you'll hear the acronym TILE O. So an O is tagged on to the end of the TILE acronym just to consider other factors. And this could be anything really. It's just considering anything else that's relevant to, you know, the actual task itself that maybe you haven't thought about. So small things like, for example, you know, how are the people that are carrying out the manual handling task dressed? Do they wear PPE that may make it awkward for them to conduct the task, for example? Other than that, there may be organizational factors that you haven't considered, such as things that we touched on there relating to the environment, like planned work that's going to take place that may interrupt the flow of your manual handling task. You know, it's important to speak to the right people on the ground, whether that be the health and safety manager, production supervisors, facilities managers, and just run your plan past them to make sure there's no there's no game changers or anything that's going to be a massive hurdle for you getting the job done safely. So that's something just to consider as well. It's just to, once you have made your plan, just to run it past a few people on the ground and to make sure it doesn't conflict with anything that they're doing. Okay, and that includes subcontractors coming in to perform work, of course. All right, well, that is the rundown of the TAL acronym. I hope this little audio summary, quick as it was, is helpful for you. And it's good to be back with the Safety School podcast. And we'll look forward to putting more of these out in the near future. Don't forget to check out our completely free manual handling training course that will be on the safety website in the very near future. If you're listening to this now and it's not available, it will be coming up very soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We do hope that that's going to be really useful and an excellent resource for you and your team to use to help you reduce risk when it comes to manual handling. Okay, that's it for me. Take care and speak to you soon. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.